Hey everyone, welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Matt Straub. It is Thursday, June 2nd, and today on the show we are going to be conducting a live best ball draft. I'm joined by Pat Corain, Kyle Dvorak, and the test subject in this experiment, Pat Daugherty, a non-early drafter who will, in fact, be drafting early this afternoon. Just for a little background, Pat, you proposed this idea to me earlier today, and then you immediately thought, wait a second, maybe this is a bad idea, which I think we all agree, and I think Kyle said offline, that makes it a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to actually embarrass myself. I wanted to, like, appear like I was in on the fun, you know, like, kind of embarrassing myself. And I was like, well, what if I actually embarrassed myself? That would be.
And we were just like, yes, I know.
Best ball is just when you take the best players. You don't pay any attention to ADP. You don't pay any attention to game theory. You don't pay any attention to stacking. You don't pay any attention to schedule, things of that nature. You just take the best players, so I'm ready.
Yeah, it'd be chess if we were trying to, like, do strategy and stuff. Yeah, I don't know how to play chess.
Don't expect much strategy from me, just to be honest.
If you know chess, I'm sure that probably doesn't even help you in this, you know?
I do know chess. I know how to that I will soon be losing to my six-year-old daughter.
You don't know chess. You started.
No, I mean, kids, while being so dumb, are just so smart, too.
Can we change the screen share to just a chess, an online chess game?
I think Friends of Chess, does that still exist? Anybody else hear about this? Friends of Chess?
For those who don't know, the winner of the Best Ball Mania 2 last year is a chess coach. So,
oh, yeah, makes a lot of sense, so, actually.
For those who are only listening on the podcast version, this looks like this is a 12 teamer, right? We're 12 team here.
12 teamers, 18 rounds, 30-second timer.
Yeah, this is called the Puppy. It's a $5 tournament. It has $75K up top to first place. The way you win that is you advance into through the first 14 weeks of the season, you win your 12-team league. Then you advance into a league of league winners. You got to win that in week 15. Then you got to win another one of those in week 16. And then you get into week 17. And that's really the tournament. We're basically entering some qualifying tournaments to get us into a week 17 tournament where all the prize money basically is going to be in that 1 week. You've got to finish first among all of those remaining teams to win 75K as the top prize.
So we legitimately, despite Pat's comments earlier, care tremendously about the schedule, and week 17 is a big deal.
I have a spreadsheet pulled up with all of the matchups for week 17, 16, 15, because you need to win. I believe I have the numbers pulled up. You need to win in week 15, another 12 person league that you get jumped into with all the original winners, an 18 person, and then the final round is 115 person final. So not that big, but definitely like tournament style final.
You also still got to get there though. So I mean, the point of drafting good players still applies.
Yeah,
it still does apply. Yeah, you still want to advance your teams at a high rate. But friend of the pod, Pete Overzet, had a really good video that came out today on just explaining like the expected value of week 17 versus the rest of the tournament. If you think about all of these as separate contests in a way, you know, that week 17 expected value is like, you know, it's like 500 times greater than the original week 1 through 14 contest. So you really do want to optimize for having a team that if you like basically win the lottery to get to the lottery, then you want to have this bullet that's very live.
Gotcha. And we're here to comment on the picks, heckle the picks if necessary, and I would say guide also, right?
Yeah, I would say
he's got a week 17 spreadsheet. I think we're going to help, like, especially Corain and Kyle. I'm going to moderate. Corain and Kyle are going to try to help you out maybe in most cases.
I just double checked to make sure there weren't any buys in week 15. There are buys like absurdly late this year. I think there's buys up until week 13 or something nutty. I don't know why. I'm sharing my inner monologue.
We're gonna get started here shortly. How, Corain, when do we want
let's jump in.
So I click enter.
Click enter.
I paid for this with five man's coins. So here we go. Enter.
I didn't realize man's coins have gotten that bad lately.
Yeah,
I know the market's down, but that's rough for a man's coin.
Allow notifications. No, I don't need any notifications for this.
Or do I? Classic last words. I don't need notifications. I mean, I'll be checking my phone.
I would allow, buddy.
You allow? Where are these going to be popping up? Like, are they just like popping up all day, like trying to get me into like other puppies or something?
It's just status updates on the draft. We're going to try to call out as many picks as we can, right? If you're listening on audio and you're not watching a video, we're not going to be able to get every pick because they're going to go really fast.
But so
we'll
turn autopilot on, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Laughing a little too hard at myself here. So, yeah, I mean, who are we taking here?
You will find out your draft slot once we get all filled and we're waiting on one person.
I'm 1-1.
It is. Yeah, the way this UI works, it puts you at the top, like you have the 101 before the draft start, which always, you know, it makes you a little excited, but then you realize.
To me, Ezekiel Elliott or give me death at 1-1, I think. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right, well, 2016 called. They want the rotopat back.
Pat, I knew you hadn't been drafting, but I didn't realize you took last year off.
Yeah.
And the year before that.
Let's see.
He actually got the 1-1.
Yeah, there we go.
You did.
Who are we taking then at 24?
That's yeah, so are we like 100% sold in Jonathan Taylor is the 1-1? Like, I could field an argument for Christian McCaffrey. Like, he does have the best fantasy season ever.
McCaffrey has a bye, and Taylor's buys in week 14. Is this even a joke?
Like, it's not when the next rolling tournament starts, so it's not a big deal.
But what I'm saying is, what is the deal with the schedule this year? What is the anybody else following this?
are you trying to build some sort of sketch show where it's just you doing impressions that anyone my age wouldn't get?
Yeah, Leno is not feeling very good today either.
You know who Leno is, Kyle.
No, I know who Leno is. And I know Pat's impression of Leno is definitely an impression of an impression.
It is.
Maybe one more of Leno.
Right, it's three removed. It is.
It's at least three removed. Very blurry. Oh, yeah, am I taking Taylor or should I take...
Probably, yeah.
Or should I maximize upside and go McCaffrey?
It's half PPR, so I think Taylor's your best bet.
Yeah, I think don't overthink this first one. We can overthink a lot of picks later.
Hopefully I know how to use this draft software.
If you're going to be drafting more of these, I do think it makes sense to draft Taylor when you have the chance because he's not falling to 103 or, you know, rarely even 102. So you'll probably get McCaffrey if you want him at 102, 103.
And McCaffrey went second. Just for anyone.
What is this red shield? And someone's are they highly experienced? Well, I'm screwed.
Oh wow, you have an icon if you're highly experienced.
David Berg. I think that's one of Karain's aliases. Is highly experienced.
Yeah, Karain does seem like he's looking at the screen very intently, like he might actually be drafted.
So Karain was claiming he hasn't done that many.
I did think about jumping in. I will say I did.
You actually should have.
That would have been amazing.
You're like bum hunting a DFS, trying to find like the good cash game action. Pat Daugherty jumps into a draft, and you're like, I guess I could throw one in.
I was worried I'd be like way too quiet on the podcast. This past
yeah,
like,
for
who
sure.
Should I take
sure.
here? I'm like, not the guy I want.
Bum hunt. You say bum hunting? Is that part of the best ball nomenclature? You want to be in a league with all the bums?
I mean, like, I think it might even like originate in poker days.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, the guy with the highly experienced shield just timed out, actually.
Oh, let's go.
Okay.
If only this is not a good time for your opponents to time out, though, because they're getting an elite player anyways. Like, once we get someone who suffers an unfortunate injury in July, the next 2 days will be great to get in for timeouts.
So, Karain, who are like the people getting week 17 boosts this year so far?
Well, the games, there's a couple games that I think are really exciting and kind of obvious stacking candidates. The Bills and the Bengals play each other.
Oh my God.
That's a potential shootout. You've got the Chiefs and the Broncos. Denver, yeah. That's a big one. LA, we got the LA Bowl, the Chargers and the Rams.
Oh, wow.
Which could be pretty fun. And then there's like some kind of gross ones. The Falcons and Cardinals play
each
other.
Don't say that. I knew you were going to say gross. I knew you were going to say Falcons right after gross. I'm positive of it.
So, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, game theory really comes in here. I want to zig when everyone else is zagging. That's why I'm loading up on Jets and Seahawks, just loading up for the week 17 Jets Seahawks game. Because that's how you win.
I mean, that is like the Seahawks and the Lions was the game last year, right? And you had the Rashad Penny explosion, which he was on the winning team. So
Amon-Ra St. Brown went off against him too. So if you stacked that game, the weird thing was you couldn't stack that game with Russell Wilson because you did not make it far enough if you drafted Russell Wilson. But if you had that as like a secondary stack, which you could have, people were thinking about this. This isn't crazy. If you just had like, I drafted Rashad, I don't know who you're drafting first. I guess you're drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown first. You're like, well, you know, if I'm splitting hairs, let me take the guy who, if Penny goes for 150, his team's definitely winning. The guy who's losing, the wide receiver, not a bad pick. So I took that. Your great point, Crane, that was like, it won the Millie Maker on like multiple websites for best ball and also won someone the Millie Maker in DFS, the Penny Amon-Ra St. Brown stack.
So Crane, Kyle, I'm seven picks away. Should I lean into receiver upside? Should I take DeAndre Swift no matter what if he falls, even though I already have a running back? Or do I want to try, like, even with the downside with like A.J. Brown or like Tyreek Hill, don't want to maximize my upside? What am I doing?
Pausing real quick while you guys think about that answer, I'm just going to quickly reset the picks so far really fast. Kupp, Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Derrick Henry, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs, Austin Eckler, Najee Harris went 10th. Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb, Mark Andrews, Tyreek Hill, and Mike Evans gets us caught up.
So
and McCaffrey went second.
What do I do? I'm scared.
We still got four or five picks till you're
I say
up.
Swift or A.J. Brown or T. Or I do I do T, Saquon? Yeah. Is this time it counts for Saquon, Pat? We were kind of all in on Saquon's like legendary potential last year, and it didn't happen.
Well, if you want to talk about the correlation, the Colts play the Giants week 17. So maybe we got JT Rowland, Saquon catching dump offs coming back.
He's playing a ton of reps at receiver in training camp. I don't know if I saw that.
I did the blurb today.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to make sure we had it up before I mentioned it.
Saquon's in the queue. He's in the queue. Or should I do T or AJ Brown? I want you guys to just pick for me.
Well, you're going to have two picks here because the way this works is it's called a snake draft. So
we should clarify. Now, how does that work, Karain?
Explain that to me. Okay, which receiver? I'm taking Saquon. Saquon. Or should I stack it with receivers? What should I do?
I'm totally fine with you taking
Saquon. Oh, my God.
Saquon's gone.
At that point, with Saquon gone, I double tap the receivers here. We got like such... I assume a massive edge at running back, just having the 101.
So are we double tapping T and AJB, or are we mixing in? It's kind of a no brainer, right?
Yeah. Probably star one of the guys because
7 seconds. Yep.
No, hold on. I'm going to scroll down. I'm going to star Rondale Moore real quick.
I've been there.
Swift, Kamara, Debo, and Saquon were the 20.
I missed my pick. Oh, no, I didn't.
You starred him. So Pat got AJ Brown.
There we go. AJ Brown and T. Higgins.
T. Higgins, 25. Yep,
and I think I would consider a pretty notable tier drop off after these two receivers right here.
Big
then
time.
You're going to Keenan Allen, who probably has a high floor, but like I am not afraid of Keenan Allen destroying the league in like that Cooper Kupp breakout fashion, right? I don't see that happening. Mike Williams, I'm also wouldn't be concerned for the reason he has Keenan Allen there. You could maybe argue like a Waddle or DJ Moore, but I think their odds of doing that relative to T. Higgins and AJ Brown's odds, who like, I really think those are some of the best receivers in the NFL, even if they play in not ideal circumstances. I would bet on their talent plus okay circumstances. I don't play for the Jags.
Is this where you guys have been seeing Pittman go? 26? Is that a typical situation we're dealing with? Is that what you expect to see?
That's probably a little bit early, but he tends to be in this next group with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, Jalen Waddle, Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore, that kind of group.
Does AJ Brown still have the same ceiling that he did in Tennessee? We know the floor is lower now. In this run first, he was literally the run heaviest team in the league after week six last year, like by far. So we know the floor has decreased for AJ Brown. Does he still have the same ceiling, we think, or does he not even have the same ceiling?
I think his ceiling's higher. You've got a team that was quite pass happy to begin the season, and then they pivoted hard to the run. I don't think they'll go like super pass heavy like they did to start 2021, but that probably represents like more what they were hoping to be. As evidenced by the fact that they just traded for AJ Brown
and a ton of money too.
Yep, they had a starting three wide receiver set of Devontae Smith, a rookie, Jalen Reagor, a bust, and Quez Watkins, like a totally fine depth guy, but you know, not like a star at all. So if you're now going to having Reagor basically off the field and replacing him with AJ Brown, that should lead to more passing attempts. I think it creates a scenario where you could have them not be like a really pass heavy team, but they're like slightly pass first, like maybe more like the Colts or something. Slightly run first, I mean.
After saying I was not going to catch us up on every pick, I now suddenly feel obligated to, so I'm going to do it. Pittman went 26, Keenan Allen, Josh Allen, Nick Chubb, Mike Williams was 30th. Mahomes, Hollywood Brown, Javonte Williams, Kyle Pitts, DK Metcalf at 35, DJ Moore, Darren Waller, Cortland Sutton just went 38th.
How are you keeping up on these, by the way?
Are you in the draft? Yeah, I got really the slot Karain was going to get, but...
So we're 8 picks away.
You can go to the board, by the way, Pat.
Okay, I'll do that. So here's the deal, though, folks. We had the 1-1. We took Jonathan Taylor. Then we double-tapped the receivers with A.J. Brown and T. Higgins. I kind of want to take Cam Akers if he somehow falls. I just feel like, the truly monstrous three-down upside there are my testosterone levels just like coursing way too high to be considered.
Well, that can't be it.
Both
trust
are somehow
me.
True.
I totally like Cam Akers going. Like, I feel like he has like the same sort of breakout potential we talked about with like DeAndre Swift last year, probably 2 years ago. It would have been like Miles Sanders. These guys, like, they do have pretty good three down profiles, and there's for all of them have had kind of a some sort of big warp. Where for DeAndre Swift, it's probably plays for the Lions. For Cam Akers, like, dude, I don't know if he'll ever be the Cam Akers we were thinking we would get coming in the NFL, but like, that's the kind of upside I'm totally fine betting on in a tournament of what is it like. How many, like, tens of thousands of people?
Boy, Gabe Davis just went.
There he goes. 45, Gabe Davis.
I think this is like 100. I think this is, yeah, this is a 111,000 people.
Yeah.
More normal amount of people. So what are we thinking here strategy-wise? I feel like I want to, like, double up on receiver again. But am I getting – or should I – Lamar has legendary upside. Cam Akers went. So I have no idea what to do.
I think you're kind of between two strategies. You could take another running back. You probably don't want to take two more running backs.
Should I take Etienne or Dobbins? We're going to take another running back.
I would take Etienne personally.
Okay. Then who's next, Karain?
Then you've got, I think, a receiver. And you can also probably cool it on running back for a while.
Yeah.
Basically, we have like a... two running back. Like,
should we bet on Amari Cooper finally having a random career year in Cleveland, or should I just bet on 1,000 Deontay Johnson targets in a conservative Steelers offense? Or should I bet on Terry McLaurin's not going to get? I have 15 seconds, by the way.
Well, you can. We already took Etienne. I think Deontay Johnson. I think the dude to get a ton of targets and now gets a quarterback upgrade. Like, that's all you need to tell me.
I just needed someone to have any preference whatsoever. Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, I've been finding myself doing like pretty heavy Pittsburgh stacks. Just like, I really do think Ben Roethlisberger's, he wasn't it, Chief. He was bad for this past two or three years. And the guys who get a lot of targets and are even modestly efficient when playing under bad circumstances, and they have the potential for an upgrade. To me, that's a spot you kind of either want to go all in on or say like, no, it won't make a difference. And I wouldn't take any of them at ADP if I didn't think Kenny Pickett could be an upgrade, a big one, over Ben Roethlisberger. Like, man, I'd say it. I watched football, right? I know I don't watch a lot of football, but I watched Ben Roethlisberger. That was not good. And Kenny Pickett is not that. I don't think he's going to set the league on fire, right? But one, we're very bad at projecting quarterbacks, right? We do Justin Herbert. He's fine. I don't know if I'd take him that high. And he turns out to be the best quarterback, right? So I do think there's like a lot of upside going to just a quarterback that isn't Ben. And the quarterback is the thing we're really not great at figuring out who we're going to be the best.
I guess only one weird thing with Deontay Johnson. I don't think the Steelers would do this. They kind of just ride people till the wheels fall off. But like, if they've already determined they're not going to extend him, like, will they make his role smaller? But that doesn't seem likely, actually.
Picks 39 through 55, rapid fire style. Justin Herbert, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, James Conner. Zeke, sorry, Pat. George Kittle, Gabriel
literally
Davis.
Never
sorry to all of
Zeke,
us.
By the way.
Gabriel Davis, Cam Akers, Breece Hall, Etienne, that was you, Pat. Deontay, that was you. Terry McLaurin, Chris Godwin, Rashad Bateman, Amari Cooper, Juju Smith-Schuster, and DeMont Nation himself, David Montgomery, at 55.
So one thing I'll say is, the Deontay Johnson case is a good one, I think. It would have been better probably if you're taking Johnson to actually have taken Dobbins, because they play Baltimore week 17. You get a little correlation built in. Currently, this team has no stacks and no bringbacks in week 17. So that is something to focus on going forward. Tiebreakers, they give us
time, correlation. A lot of time, though.
Well, here's we're 12 picks away, Karain. We've focused so far on good players. maybe it's time to take a not good player and Jalen Hurts and stack him with AJ Brown.
Anyone who is not a best ball aficionado, what do you mean when you say bring back?
So right, so bring back would be you've got Pittsburgh going, or we have this Eagle stack potentially lining up.
Should I do an Eagle stack or a Burrow stack with T? Should I do a quarterback stack here for sure? 9 picks away.
You honestly could double tap quarterback and get both stacks in place, and I think at the prices you would get these guys, that'd be totally fine. You're done at quarterback. Get that quarterback upside. That'd be a pretty nice round. But the bring back would then be getting a bill for your Cincinnati stack because they play – Cincinnati plays the Bills in Week 17.
Oh,
like you would in DFS. You might do a stack and then have someone from the opposite game you're betting on a shootout.
Well, I'm looking for gotcha. – I'm searching for Zach Moss real quick.
Yeah, keep searching. You got to scroll. You got to keep scrolling.
That was a joke, just so we're clear.
Pop it in the queue, Pat. Lamar Jackson, 56. Dobbins, 57. Brandon Cooks, 58. Darnell Mooney, Allen Robinson, Kyler Murray,
damn
Russell
it, there
Wilson,
goes Joe Burrow.
Antonio Gibson and Elijah Mitchell was the 64th pick.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get now, 1 second, with Joe Burrow gone, I think maybe our best bet, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Brandon Allen. I think I need to go Brandon Allen here in the sixth round.
You know what I'm enjoying about this from Pat Daugherty is that we're learning that when he drafts, he just yells things out. Like he's very stream of consciousness. He's very raw. He's, you know, it's raw emotion coming out. I'm enjoying it.
What the heck do I do if Hurts goes? I don't. Would it be Traylon time? Or Devontae? Would I want to take Devontae Smith? Like, is there any weird benefit to having receivers on the same team, Crane?
I mean, there is, yeah.
Yeah,
there is. Like, you want to have correlation. So, if this happens to be a – you're already betting.
I didn't know if that was enough of a correlation to count, but I guess the correlation is just with hoping for a high-scoring game, obviously.
Yeah, and a productive Eagles passing game.
Yeah. I know what correlation is. And there goes Jalen Hurts. So.
Yeah, we lost our Hurts.
But I would still have to say Devontae Smith is a good pick, even though you don't have Hurts, because hopefully you're building in stacks with whatever quarterback you do end up with.
So what are we thinking here? Oh, Tom Brady?
I wouldn't take Tom Brady because we're not going to have any of his receivers. They've all gone, I assume. I mean, it's fine. Like, there are certainly teams like we saw a lot of the Burrow teams got killed off last year because he got like,
well, Devontae Smith just went, and now I'm on the clock, and we have no ideas.
We have Elijah Moore and Treylon Burks because both of those guys have quarterbacks who are quite easy to stack. It's probably a three-quarterback build now.
Yep.
Lovely. Moore, I'm just going to scroll through here. I've got Moore in the queue. So
9 seconds, Pat.
He'll get auto.
You could do Ayuk if you want and try to get.
I actually want Ayuk much more than
you got. Adam, do edit that one.
I wanted Ayuk much more.
Dude, I would take. I don't.
I wanted Ayuk much more than Elijah Moore. But are we taking Ayuk or Treylon Burks here with 15 seconds remaining, Pat?
Well, the Ayuk play, you're playing. Right, Lance hasn't gone, so you're playing that you hope you get Lance back.
Here we go. Ayuk it is, folks.
Interesting. I don't know if I'd be taking the third pass catching option on like the league's run heaviest team, but.
So, the team is bad now, for the record. So,
well, should we start this over? Should we start over a good dry run?
Cut it.
So far, no stacks.
I will say, Brandon Ayuk went nuts down the stretch last year. Like he was like a wide receiver one, like almost like the final 8 or 9 weeks. I think he was like top 10 receiver. He wasn't a wide receiver one in fantasy.
He did play a really big role whenever they started doing Debo as a running back. Like when
he was like top 10 in yards, I think like the final 9 or 10 weeks of the season, like something totally crazy. But I totally agree with your Ayuk. Like this offense was already one of the most run heavy. It's going to get considerably run heavier.
Pat, do you want to read off our team again? Because we talked about the rest of the picks. We haven't read off our team.
It was Jonathan Taylor, AJ Brown, T. Higgins, Travis Etienne, Deontay Johnson, auto pick Elijah Moore. He was in the queue, and Brandon Ayuk.
And the last 10, 12 picks or so, Joe Burrow, Michael Thomas, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London, Jalen Hurts, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Smith, Elijah Moore, Brandon Ayuk. Moore and Ayuk were Pat, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Treylon Burks, DeAndre Hopkins, and Dalton Schultz, and then Hunter Renfro just went at 79.
Can someone explain to me the Hunter Renfro fascination from like the sharper crowd?
I I won't have a single Hunter Renfrow team, I don't think.
It's half point PPR, so that does make it tough. Like, is he going to be at all involved in the red zone? I know he kind of has had a red zone role, but Davante Adams there now, it's hard for me to imagine that. And like, I guess he can be kind of the Wes Welker is the idea. And they probably will play more 11 personnel than they did last year. They were pretty like heavy into two and sometimes three tight end sets. So he'll be on the field more, but it seems pricey to me.
So what are we thinking philosophically through seven picks? We have two running backs and five receivers. Can I not risk missing Trey Lance at this point? Do I have to get Trey Lance?
I think you should take Trey Lance if he's there.
Yeah, have to is like a strong word for it. But yes, I do think like that's kind of
what we have to stack next. Kenny Pickett with Deontay Johnson this round, right, Kyle?
I'm doing it. I literally am going to have a lot of that team. Like, I'm not,
I'm kind of feeling, is Miles Sanders, is that enough of a correlation with AJ Brown?
That's a good one. Yeah. You're betting on the Eagles offense. One. Yeah.
I'm sure neither one of them will be gone in 10 picks.
Pat, you've got the hang of this whole thing now. I mean, you've got this dialed in.
So what are we thinking philosophically though? Five receivers, two running backs, and no correlating players yet.
Yeah. You don't have a single correlated player and you don't have any players from teams that play each other in week 17. So far, but this is just not what you want to do.
Well, it's never love of the game.
C plus.
Has anyone heard of love of the game around here?
Hey, we are I think borderline halfway ish home, maybe not quite, but we're going to take a very quick break. And this is just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet, go and download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and you have a shot to win thousands by predicting what will happen in the NBA playoffs on the PGA Tour and NASCAR circuit. We also have a special contest Tuesday and Thursday called Battle of the Bets, where you can agree or disagree with our experts for a shot to collect some cash. And we're back. Pick 87 just went off the board. That was Miles Sanders. TJ Hockenson went 88th. And we've got Pat Daugherty with about a C letter grade. Is that fair? Too generous?
I think that's fair. Like, I don't think we've made any bad picks within their own individual places in the draft. And even our roster construction, it's just that, like, we probably will be forced to sort of bend to finding correlations throughout, not just even week 17, but you also have to make it there through, 15, 16. So, I think we'll kind of be bending to the will of that soon enough.
And what you're doing here, Pat, is you're starring players that I understand why you're starring, like, these quarterbacks for later in the draft, but you do risk timing out and selecting.
I know.
And,
I got to get him out of here, actually. Trey Lance just went. So we have no one starred. Oof. What the heck do we do, Corain?
Man, we're two picks away from ourselves here.
I think Dallas Goedert would be.
I was going to say, Goddard, is this the play here?
Yeah.
Should we do? Oh, Kenneth Walker's gone. I'm like, should we do Tyler Lockett and Kenneth Walker?
Sky Moore.
Ooh, we've got Garrett Wilson coming up. We could do Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson.
He just went, I think. Yeah.
Why would I say that?
We got to do Goddard, I think, because we don't have a tight end yet, and you gotta fill every position, guys. First,
in order.
In order. That's cool. So.
I
mean,
I do love Tony Pollard.
I was gonna say Pollard. Should we just do it?
Traylon Burks pick in there. Yeah,
one thing I have been interested in is Kareem Hunt. Like, I feel like we were drafting him in like the fifth round last year, and nothing has changed, right?
Garrett Wilson, by the way, is actually gone.
Yeah,
he went 95.
Are we just gonna auto? Are we gonna auto pick Pollard? Is that the play here?
I would take Kareem Hunt over Tony Pollard because I think you basically have the same proposition, but more of a chance to get points in weeks that the starter isn't.
More of a chance
with this team. I'd rather take Pollard because you have the two guys already.
All right, Pollard. I didn't draft. I don't know who it was on. Okay, it was on Hunt.
You took Hunt.
Kareem, why would you want Pollard there?
Because you already have Taylor and Etienne, so I feel like I'm okay going for the bigger swing. With
you don't
Pollard.
Think like if Nick Chubb goes down, Kareem Hunt is roughly the same size swing?
I don't, because they also have De'Ernest Johnson, who is at OTAs right now, and they drafted Jerome Ford. So I think there'd still probably be a committee there.
Sure.
I don't think Pollard would be like an every down player, but like I think he would be pretty clearly the like lead back.
I think Pollard gets would be traded. Like, am I just totally screwed if he gets traded?
I mean, that's where the Chiefs. They'll probably take over the whole backfield.
Oh man,
I think the team's done. By the way,
so Tony Pollard won 100th. Tyler Lockett 101. Christian Watson 102. Chase Claypool just went 103. Do you guys like Corain and Kyle? Do you like drafting at a turn in one of these things? Or does it not really matter to you?
I like it when it's the 101.
I actually literally just do because it's easier to plan ahead. Like, I don't like having to, like, 6 picks between my picks is like the worst feeling or whatever. 12 picks between my picks is like the worst feeling. Yeah. As opposed to the whole 24. Like, I just think it is literally easier to, like, pay attention and plan ahead.
I will say, though, right. too, though, if you get, like, too hung up on a plan and then they go, like, 2 or 3 picks before with a 30-second timer, you end up auto-drafting Elijah Moore sometimes.
To that point, Chris Olave was probably the pick instead of Kareem Hunt because you have completed a Philly stack of sorts. You don't have Hurts, but you have A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert, and so getting that bring back on the Saints, who they play Week 17, would have been nice.
Do I need to get Matt Ryan this next go-around now? We have 0 quarterbacks, and do I need to correlate someone with Jonathan Taylor?
We are entering the 10th round, and what quarterbacks do we have available to us? If you That's could read them off.
Tab over there. It's
Captain Kirk.
Matt Ryan's ADP is like 60 picks from now. So yeah,
Deep ball aficionado Tua Tagovailoa. Not good at football player Justin Fields.
Ouch.
Trevor Lawrence. Do we correlate Trevor Lawrence with
That's a legit one. Right. Plus, they play the Texans week 17, could just roll them.
I kind of say I'm a little disturbed that you have the entire week 17 schedule memory. Do you know any of the week 1 matchups?
No, why would I memorize those?
It just occurred to me.
Your job requires knowing about week 1. You have the whole week 17.
No, week 17 is all I need.
You know how long we are from week 1? We're months out from week 1.
I'll worry about week 1 in September, dude.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, so it's Trevor Lawrence or bust kind of here, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know that you have to make it happen this
round, we'd be like 20.
Well, what pick are we at? He'd be about 30. No, he'd only be about 20 ahead of ADP.
You know what just occurred to me? I've noticed that every time you mention someone, they tend to go, Pat. I don't know if that's just the timing, but I have an alternate theory, which is that Corain actually is drafting. He said he wasn't. He's in this thing, and he's playing like next level chess on us. He's just like totally acting like he's not involved, and he's just taking people from you just to entertain himself.
I'm telling you what, I'm doing Lawrence.
What other positions do you have available?
Should I do double tap quarterback? Should I do Kirk Cousins? And then, but there's no one to really get for the Vikings later. I guess I could get Irv Smith, but
you'll be okay at quarterback.
All right,
you can get Zach Wilson. You can get Matt Ryan.
Yeah, well, okay, let's see here. Here's top of the queue. James Cook, Melvin Gordon, Tyler Boyd, Jameson Williams, who I love, Penny, Rondale, who I joked about earlier, Kenny Galladay, Kirk Cousins.
There goes Rondale.
If James Cook makes it, that would be...
Nope.
No.
He gone.
Nope, neither did Jameson. All right. I think it's Trevor Lawrence time.
Could do Kenny Galladay and come back for Daniel Jones in a few rounds. I'd be fine with Kenny Galladay and then coming back for Daniel Jones.
I like that.
Yeah.
Is there any – what about pairing Tyler Boyd with T. Higgins?
I'd be fine with that.
That makes a lot of sense.
Which is better, though? Which is better?
Well, we can do both, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, really? Yeah, you know there's no chance that Trevor Lawrence is still going to be there. Like, how important is this quarterback?
We're
going to
have Daniel Jones. We don't need him.
Yeah, we're setting up other correlation with the Kenny Galladay pick.
Okay, we'll do Boyd and Galladay. You're letting Jesus take the wheel. I'm letting my best ball Jesuses take the wheel.
Oh, and we talked about that at the beginning of the thing. That's our Jonathan Taylor versus the Giants stack, exactly the way we drew it up.
I will say on Kenny Galladay, so we just went with Tyler Boyd and Kenny Galladay back-to-back. Like, basically, unless Kenny Galladay's, like, leg has been removed, there's no way he could be worse than he was last year. And that we keep – Denny and I keep talking about – when I talked about this last offseason, that Daniel Jones never throws deep, but when he does throw deep, he's actually good.
Yeah.
And that maybe if it's actually, like, schemed and designed better this year, he can be a better deep ball passer and actually have some chemistry with Kenny Galladay, who's one of the best deep receivers in the NFL. But Kenny Galladay, though, wins in, like, tight quarters, and that is where – Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones, who's going to be on this team apparently, literally never targets people.
Is Daniel Jones ADP from where we are now?
I think we got a while to wait. I am of the belief that what we saw from Daniel Jones really his whole career is at least not maximizing his potential. I don't think he's that good. He also has like pretty horrific pocket awareness. He's not like dialed in at any part of the field particularly. But the fact that he has had, I don't know, one of the worst runs of coaching we've seen in recent memory for like a 3 to 4 year stretch, and now gets what I think is one of the best offensive minds in the NFL. Like, I'm willing to bet on that as a like a very potential like long outlier situation.
Crane, hear me. Thinks, but he runs.
Crane, hear me out on this next round. We're 16 picks away. Trevor Lawrence and Evan Ingram, back to back.
I mean, I think that's a good move.
I was joking, yeah. But I'm still probably too early on.
Evan Ingram.
No, yeah, definitely don't do it now.
What about Lawrence now, though?
That's a good idea.
Does he have to be Lawrence?
Is Lawrence an auto pick if he makes it these next 15 picks?
Yeah, I think Lawrence makes sense if he comes back.
Tim Patrick, Mecole Hardman, Jacoby Myers, Mike Gesicki were the last four, if you're wondering what kind of territory we're in right now.
Hopefully this is fun to listen to if you're a podcast listener, by the way. Hey, folks, just me drafting my team, just yelling out random player names.
And random words.
Oh, David Boston just went.
A little early for David Boston here.
So that was one. Steroids. Ronald Jones, Rojo, pick 130, Karain, just for you.
Yep.
Everyone get up for Ronald Jones.
Now we know Karain is not drafting, actually. That just proved it.
That is a good
unless
point.
That's well, his unless team. That's
me. No, because that could be.
Yeah.
Someone check the rest of that team. Check
it proved nothing. It proved nothing.
Justin Fields is pretty easy to backdoor stack.
By the way, I'm putting Zach Wilson said he's not in the queue at this point.
This not good at football stuff with Justin Fields really hurts my soul, guys. It's hard
it
to
is
hear.
A shame.
Well, you can get Byron Pringle and Vils
Trevor
Jones
Lawrence just went. By the way,
look, it's fine. I'm not upset.
I'm a little.
Don't put it in the newspaper that I'm upset.
Is it time to stack Matt Ryan? His ADP is 166. No. We're on pick 135. I'll be pick 144.
Well, keep in mind, like that in this 1,100,000 tournament. You're going to be 100,000 person tournament. Well, you want to keep pushing it and trying to make like the best possible team. So you don't want to hypothetically like capitulate and just take Matt Ryan ahead of ADP.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like there's going to be a team that got Matt Ryan as a value, and their team will look like your team, but you will just it will look like you skipped one of your picks. You passed it down the road a bit. Someone will have a similar team to you, but it would just be better, right?
And I think you can reach a little bit, but
yeah. I think I was saying this before. We even saw like a lot of the obviously you wanted the Bengals because we had like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins explosions down the stretch. But the Bengals teams, speaking from experience, got slaughtered the very first round of the best ball playoffs because Joe Burrow completely just had an awful performance. It was like a 7-point performance or something. And the next 2 weeks, they crushed you. So you had to just find a way to get through, or you had unstacked. Like, you know, we talked about you still had the correlation between Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, right? You had to do that type of thing.
It's round 12. We're five picks away. We have three running backs, seven receivers, and a tight end. Top of the board is Jarvis Landry, Tonyan, Van Jefferson, Nyheim Hines. Should I take Nyheim Hines?
We have John Taylor.
I wouldn't with Taylor.
So there's no advantage to like ensure like in case he gets hurt or something. It doesn't matter.
Well,
I guess.
If Jonathan Taylor gets hurt, you're kind of
screwed. Yeah, screwed anyway.
There's going to be there will be teams with Christian McCaffrey and Nyheim Hines who are just burying you.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Jahan Dotson, Cole Kmet, Jalen Tolbert, DJ Shark, Tyler Algier, David Njoku, David Bell, Hunter Henry, KJ.
Quarterback has dried up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
this is pretty wild.
Did we take Kareem Hunt? Because we do have two Browns players, David Njoku and David Bell, at ADP coming up. I can also see who they play week 17. It's not.
Can we take David Bell, like please?
That. Yeah, let's take David Bell.
Should we do David Bell? Can I finally take a quarterback? Please, please let me take a quarterback.
I don't know, Pat. I don't know.
Seems risky.
We landed on don't reach for Matt Ryan a minute ago.
Oh, God, we're on the clock. We're going to get David Bell here.
Let's go.
What should I do for the second pick? Should I do quarterback or some other stack?
Is Alec Pierce available? Because you could do Matt Ryan and Pierce.
He should be available. Yeah, he is available.
There he is.
ADP is
grab Ryan here and then hope to get Pierce later. It's in the next one.
So we're actually taking Matt Ryan here?
Yeah, go for it. Let her rip.
Guys, this is awful. We got to let it was clear that Pat Daugherty wanted to take Matt Ryan so badly. I mean, we got it.
Yeah.
He was been asking for weeks.
Quite literally, I don't think I've ever rostered Matt Ryan in redraft fantasy.
When I turned in our rankings, Ray told me his only note was that I was too low on Matt Ryan.
Would you have him like RB?
I think I ranked him like he'll never make a difference in a redraft league.
That sounds about right. You know what? That checks out. You know, having done little thought into it, that checks out. So we have Matt Ryan now. How are we feeling about Paris Campbell? Because I know this might sound like I saw the blurb that I wrote that said he caught like eight of 24 targets from Matt Ryan. But what I'm saying is not that he's going to have, what is that, a 25% target share. It's that he is healthy and alive, and I know he exists, and he's out on the field now, which has mostly not been true for the past 3 years. And he's like a pretty good player with the ball in his hands. He literally just cannot get on the field. That does not seem to be the case now. So I think given that it's a highly correlated play with what we have on the team, and that like there's a chance he's a good player, I'm glad we put him in the queue.
But we have one more wide receiver pick on this team, though. We have one quarterback who's bad. And we have a good enough tight end where we can just take two, but we probably need two more running backs. We only have three. So I think you got to be careful about which wide receiver you're picking because you only got one left.
Let's stack Tyler Algier with Matt Ryan. Am I right? He's on the Falcons still, right? Matt Ryan.
You might have zero left to spend. You might be done at wide receiver if you want to get to five running backs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, how many picks do we have left?
Should we do Gainwell?
I like Gainwell. Yeah, that's a
good one. Goddard, and we have AJ Brown.
Jahan Dotson just went pick 153.
What's the early read on Dotson? Like, has there been any counter movement for Dotson yet? Like, everyone's totally out on the.
There's been some positive beat reports on him.
Because like everyone's totally out on the landing spot. Everyone's totally out on the quarterback. But like people always ignore maybe the most important thing, which is his insane real life draft capital. And I didn't know if like there'd be a sharp movement back towards Jahan Dotson as the summer kind of rolled along.
Yeah, he's 178 pounds, so he's looking awesome at OTAs.
Oh boy. Is he really buck 78?
Yeah, he's a buck 78. Get the tight ends in here so we can see him too.
So what did you say, Karain? Let's go through the roster. How many roster spots do we have left? And realistically, position wise, what do we have to do?
So we have 18 roster spots total to spend. We already have eight wide receivers, but we only have one tight end, one quarterback. We need to get.
Oh, and Joker just went.
Oh, come on.
That's three picks we're spending between two more quarterbacks and one tight end. Because you need to have three quarterbacks if you have Matt Ryan as your first one. And I feel like I'm slamming Matt Ryan, but I don't even mean to. It's just, you know, you're going to be competing with two quarterback teams that are like Kyler Murray and Trey Lance. You know, you're going to need three. And then you do want to get to two tight ends as well. And you only have three running backs. So, realistically, you probably should not take another wide receiver.
Well, that's
close that
fine.
Tab, Pat.
Should we do Gainwell and Zach Wilson this go around?
I like that.
Me too.
We're seven picks away. I kind of doubt Zach Wilson will make it back to me, unless maybe most teams have satisfied their quarterback needs. Is Zach Wilson in this draft and in general, is Zach Wilson the call over Daniel Jones this year?
Crane, you have opinions.
I think I like Daniel Jones.
Let's go. Me too.
Should we do Dimes? Should we do Danny with Danny Dable?
He also gets us the correlation with Jonathan Taylor.
That's actually really important. We should like not understate the fact that like if that game goes exactly as the Seattle Detroit game went last year, in that just like ugly fun, bad team week 17 type of stuff, it's the perfect setup for the.
I had no idea the Seattle Detroit week 17 2021 game was the lodestar of all of fantasy.
It's seriously, also, I can off the top of my head think of like $3 million it swung.
Yeah,
so a ton of money. Does this then need to be? Wait, do we decide Daniel Jones and does it need to be Alec Pierce? I feel like you've moved.
Well, we're out of receivers. He said, "Crane said no more receivers. He's cut off my receiver line of credit."
It's tough, and Pierce went anyways, so that helps.
You could steal it from running back, but that's Jonathan Taylor, ETN, Kareem Hunt, and like a late round running back is a little thin. I think you'd rather probably go five there.
I'd be fine with four. I don't know if it's optimal, right? But I think it's within like the bounds of reason to go there.
I
don't know if we like
the bounds of reason.
Yeah. Also, tight end. I assume we're not that deep in the draft. Mo Alie-Cox. I'm just throwing it out. You guys should know he's a big dude. He's big, and he plays with Matt Ryan.
If Kenneth Gainwell goes here, are we double tapping? Oh, he didn't go. So are we doing Daniel Jones and Kenneth Gainwell, or should we do Daniel Jones and Zach Wilson?
I'd do Jones and Gainwell.
Me too.
All right. That's all I needed to hear. Just needed someone to have an opinion.
The theme of the day here. So that was
Mo Alie-Cox is really
168, 169.
I'd be in for him as our next tight end. He really is just like, he was just like arbitrage David Njoku, where you're like big, fast, super efficient, and
what about
played like 200 snaps a season, right?
We already have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Should we do Hayden Hurst?
I'd be fine with that, too. Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on it, but he's good.
Is he?
Why?
I mean, he's a good pick at this price. I don't know about in the other sense of it.
So is Matt Ryan the big change for you when it comes to Mo Alie-Cox, Kyle? Because he's always been like a guy who seems to have some ability, and when he gets the ball, you know, dangerous with the ball in his hands, but, you know, could really never get targeted.
I'll throw in Mo Alie, by the way.
Yeah, for me, it's just losing Jack Doyle. Like, they were keeping Jack Doyle out there for so many snaps, and, like, he's a good blocker, and he catches the ball and falls down, but, like, if those snaps are potentially converted into routes for Mo Alie-Cox, which hasn't been true, right? He's been a, not backup, but a 1B tight end for a while, and I don't know if he makes the leap, right? But I think there's a lot of upside there because he's just, like, big, relatively athletic for his size, and has been pretty efficient throughout his career. So obviously he's like, it's not one of the things where like, well, routes times yards per route run in his new role equals tons of fantasy points, but there's at least potential for him to scale up his efficiency at some reasonable level.
Crane, we're in round 15 and my running backs are Taylor, Etienne, Kareem Hunt, and Kenneth Gainwell. Do we need to like take a swing at running back that just like in the most overall upside has nothing to do with correlation or week 17, or is it still this correlation, the name of the game?
Well, I think if you could get Tyrion Davis Price, who's still here, that would give you a little bit of both, because you have Ayuk as the failed the Lance stack attempt.
The failed so that would, Lance stack. Great moment in drafting history.
You know, that would be a pretty nice one. I do think it makes sense to kind of swing for upside there. And to Kyle's point, you could make this a four running back build. I think Gainwell's exciting enough. And also correlated that, you know, maybe you could get away with four. I would feel more comfortable with five in this build. This is kind of a classic hero running back build, but I think you have a little bit of a luxury pick in that regard.
Hey, Tyrion Davis Price, we do have some hero potential running back with Travis Etienne and Kareem Hunt just either getting traded, or I mean, Nick Chubb has been kind of remarkably healthy for a running back. He might be overdue to miss like 8 or 9 games at some point.
Yeah, I kind of like the way we have our running backs built. Not that I'm saying like we can't take another one, right? But like we're probably getting a pretty consistent floor. It's only half PPR, but a pretty consistent floor of reception, especially like we already saw like ETN talk. Everyone's going to say this. And I don't want to take it out to this extent. He wants to be more like Deebo Samuel. Yeah, you and everyone else, right? I'd love to be more like Deebo Samuel. But they were just nonstop targeting him in practice. And that's what we should see. And there's a very real potential we don't see James Robinson in week one, let alone like healthy for a good first chunk of the season.
Is Wandale Robinson still there?
Wandale?
Yeah,
he's that guy. No.
Where's the apostrophe after the it's after the N.
Say, where is the apostrophe?
He's here.
He's in.
That would be, I think if you want to go for running backs, Wandale Robinson would be nice as another stacking partner with Daniel Jones in the game. That's also our big game stack.
I definitely think there's an edge to like stacking some of the more unique games in week 17, right? Because like, let's say, you know, the Chiefs and the Broncos both have good seasons. They go off and they make it through the playoffs like unscathed. None of them have like terrible weeks. It's just going to be you and everyone else playing your Chiefs versus Broncos stack. I think that in the Buffalo Cincy game, right? There's not like a ton of edge to having them if they all go off, in the sense of there's a lot of people in these final rounds of the best ball finales, if you want to call them that. So if one of the weird games goes off, like we talked about Seattle, but if one of the weird games goes off and you have a bunch of pieces from it, like I think that could be a really big differentiator, especially in Best Ball Mania, which has 400-500 in the finale. And then the DraftKings one has nearly 1,000 teams in the finale. It is a true like DFS type tournament.
Should we do Wandale and Mo Alie-Cox to accomplish a lot of what you just said?
I think one of the advantages of Mo Alie-Cox is that he probably will be there at the very last pick of the draft.
So, yeah, we've been taking him way ahead of ADP here. So is Wandale, we're hitting draft no matter what type of pick?
If he's there, I'd really like that. And then if you want to get, like, Pickett, because you do need a third quarterback, Pickett, you have Johnson, so that would make sense.
Yeah, right, it's Pickett. I just needed someone to say the word. All of a sudden, I'm like in love with bad players in this format. Absolutely in love with bad quarterbacks.
It is. If you primarily play season-long fantasy, this is very eye-opening to how different best ball is. It's, you know, I think from afar you can say,
well, not just best ball necessarily. I mean, normal, like, self-contained redraft best ball is not that different.
Right.
It is so funny that, like, 4 years ago, best ball was still a thing. You were just trying to win 12-person leagues, right? Now no one even talks about that anymore. It's so weird how far
MFL 10s, am I right, folks?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Wandale and Kenny Pickett, it is, then?
Yeah, I would do that.
I'm in.
But now we're going to have 9 receivers. What does that preclude us from doing?
No, I said I'm in. Let's go.
Oh, you're in. Okay.
Whatever. Yep. Kenny Pickett. There we go.
Because the tight ends left are, like, pretty good. Like, I think they are. Hayden Hurst and Evan Engram are, like, much better tight end picks than Molly Cox. So I'd at least try to get, you know, use the ADP to your advantage. And
so one pick left. We just kicked off round 17. One pick left.
Karain, do you have a take on Taysom Hill at a tight end? Like, is he the ultimate GPP bro play? Because you remember the 1 week on FanDuel 2 years ago where he should have been owned 100%. He was listed as a tight end and was a starting quarterback. No one else projects even close to him. And he was the min price too, right? And you would get that effect of getting, like, locking in 18 points, 20 points from your tight end for a long time if he starts half a season. But at the same time, the fact they signed Andy Dalton, I actually think he is just really a tight end at this point. So I am not getting there, but I think it's an interesting, like, Giga Chad brain discussion. No.
I'm not really doing it except when I have the Eagles stacked.
Okay.
And then I'm open to it. So this actually would be kind of a spot where, like, I prefer to do it if I had, like, Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts or Travis Kelce or something where I'm just like, I don't even know why that I need a tight end too. Like, this is like a pure luxury pick.
Yeah, because he's also, you're not just getting 20 points at a tight end. You can flex him too, right? He could go in the flex spot, which is really, if you have that Kelce type of thing, that's what you want. You want to turn your team into the only super flex team.
Yeah. But I guess I'm thinking, like, if we are in a universe where Taysom Hill is starting for the Saints in week 17 at quarterback, you're going to have him. Like, I don't, it's a very low chance, but, like, that's who's going to win, the team that has Taysom Hill at quarterback, but they get to play them at tight end. So,
yeah, not only that,
especially if, like, I'm already betting on that game to go off.
It doesn't even have to be in that game. Just imagine he puts up, like, a 7-game stretch of giving you 18 points at tight end every single week. Like, that would be broken too.
That's a good point too.
Yeah, it just doesn't have to be the game stack, right? It can just be that playing a tight end.
Taysom Hill just went at pick number 202.
And Karain just took him.
It's the team that took Ronald Jones. It literally is.
That's Karain.
That is
100%. You can't convince me.
That's his Eckler. I don't like Eckler.
That's to throw us off. This is
no.
I mean, come on.
Well, Hayden Hurst just went, so we are. It's kind of like Mo Ali Cox or bust at this point for pick 18.
Wait. Look. I mean, Logan Thomas is here really late. Like, I don't
I
think
see you have Tebow start as well.
I was wondering if someone's
a visual gag. I got
for all the.
I'm not in on Logan Thomas, but, like, he was a tight end 1 2 years ago, and, like, Austin Hooper's not good. Brevin Jordan could get cut, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Logan Thomas knows a thing or two about being not.
Brevin
good.
Jordan's not getting cut.
I'm just saying, like, I did. Brevin, they healthy scratched Brevin Jordan for 8 straight games to start.
We're screwed. He went Mo Ali Cox.
Oh boy,
what do we do?
That hurt.
Dude,
that
Logan hurt. Logan Thomas.
Logan,
like,
Thomas,
I
think, is your move. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, he doesn't correlate with anybody on this team.
No,
come
he's
on.
A Browns. He's a Browns stack. I'm pretty sure he's a Browns stack, and we have Browns.
All right.
You better believe I know that.
That's correct.
This is actually highly addicting, but I feel like I would definitely need Karain and Kyle here just telling me every schedule.
It's kind of interesting to have a team doing this at once, because it is like having your own little heads up display for team stacks and whatnot just by people screaming it at you.
Although a lot of the advice that I gave you was after the fact. So I definitely need to step up.
After you'd made your pick.
Yeah. You know what you could have done there?
Yeah.
Not that helpful.
Hey, that Eckler team is pretty sharp from what I'm seeing. That guy's made some good picks.
Can we reach out to Josh Norris and Hayden Winks? Why does Kenny Pickett not have a picture? He needs a picture.
That's
on
pretty
I'm
messed up.
That message now.
Like that.
We should also reach out and let them know that we love Joe Burrow's picture. Joe Burrow's picture on this is so.
I have to remove Tim Tebow from the queue because he was my second.
Dangerous.
He was down to my second player being in the queue.
So we're coming down to it here. Pick 213.
Hear me out.
Just happened.
Hear me out, guys. Mo Ali Cox is gone. Delaney Woods is available.
Well, honestly, if you want to get weird, Ricky Seals-Jones is the starting tight end for the Giants.
I've had this
stack
thought.
That up.
I think Logan Thomas is just like such a superior, like projects for so many more points than.
Yeah, we should do Logan Thomas actually.
But I get it. And if Logan Thomas goes, we're still not on the clock yet. We're one pick away. I'd be fine with Ricky Seals-Jones. He basically played like Logan Thomas for seven games last year, which is to say, went out, caught four for 40 a bunch of weeks, which I don't know. We needed more tight end points, so can't hurt.
Well, we are agonizingly close to being able to take Logan Thomas.
I wish I thought of this Seals Jones take. I would have taken Thomas so you could have had Jones, but I mean.
So is it Thomas now? Is that
yeah,
the pick?
And he does correlate with our Browns players. So if that game, another one that it's ugly, but if it goes off, we are looking good.
Do you agree, Karain?
I do.
All right.
Tebow, do it.
Yeah, it should have been okay. Tebow.
But all right. We're coming up on an hour here. We got to go in a minute. Read out the roster for us, Pat. And
how do
Crane
I do that?
Kyle.
I don't know how to do it.
Can we
do
that?
Click on the puppy there.
Click back. Click on the puppy. Yep. Teams drafted and the puppy. Here we go. Crane, you read off the team.
All right. You got at quarterback Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones, Kenny Pickett. You got Matt Ryan. Always got to go three quarterbacks. Go to running back. We got Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, Kareem Hunt and Kenny Gainwell, only four running backs. A little thin, but you always want to push it at running back. Wide receiver, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Elijah Moore, Brandon Ayuk, Tyler Boyd, Kenny Galladay, David Bell, Wandale Robinson. We've got the Daniel Jones double stack with Jonathan Taylor coming back in week 17. You love that. And then a tight end, Dallas Goedert and Logan Thomas, who I think, you know, maybe a little undervalued given the ACL tear. Because the final weeks are what really matters. If Logan Thomas scores a touchdown in week 16 and gets you into the final here, who cares if he doesn't play for five?
Well, Stroud pointed out the final weeks really matter if you make it there.
Right.
It don't really matter if you don't make it there.
And those words are what earned me a 25% share of your grand prize, Pat, exactly. Just for the record. All right. Well, any other final thoughts there from you?
So grade the team. I mean, even though you guys are grading yourselves to Kyle, you grade the team, then Karain is going to grade the team.
C plus B minus, somewhere in there. I'll say B minus. I do think at the end of the day, we did get a pretty correlated team, and we didn't do it by like reaching. Like we didn't do like egregious reaches. Like we're like, oh, 13th round, we got to get Paris Campbell, right? You know, these players we brought up, but we did at least let the correlation come to us. We do have a lot of the week 17 stacks as well. Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I do think there were some like micro things like we talked about, like the Treylon Burks thing. I think we could have set up a stack there. A few other spots that I think we could have made better decisions. But yeah, B minus, solid.
I think B minus is fair. I think quarterback is it. We just kind of got boxed out at quarterback along the way. And it does hurt not to have really any upside there. I guess Daniel Jones gives us a little bit, but like, you know, none of these guys are going to be drafted in the first seven rounds next year. Like, I feel pretty confident about that. So that's a little tough in like a really top heavy tournament like this. But I do think it's pretty. I mean, we got the Eagles. We have three Eagles. We've got three Giants. We've got Jonathan Taylor coming back on the other side of that one. We have bringbacks with Cleveland and Washington. So I think correlation-wise, we did probably more like a B plus A minus. Overall construction, probably B minus.
I heard an A in there. I heard an A. That's all I know.
I think that's all I care about, too. Remember, at the beginning of the show, I said I don't really care about good players. I just want to correlate.
Yep. Correlate. That's the name of the game. Well, hope that was enjoyable for everyone. And I mean, I just want to say best ball drafts are an excellent way to spend your summer. And I would say there's maybe another way you guys are spending your summer later on, a couple months from now, Pat Doherty, if I'm not mistaken, a certain event you're going to.
We're going to visit Kyle Dvorchik's family in the Akron, Canton, Ohio area. And we happen to be stopping by a fantasy football expo at the same time. It was awesome time last year. Kidding aside, it's an amazing time. The expo in Canton, the entire NFL Edge team is going to be there. Myself, Kyle, Karain, Lawrence Jackson, Denny Carter. Who am I forgetting? That's going to be there. Ed Williams, Raymond Summerlin. We're going to be on all sorts of panels. I'm going to be drafting teams in the King's Classic, which is amazing every year. It's becoming kind of like fantasy Woodstock, basically. So, and it's all this started with people staying at Kyle Dvorak's family's home.
And when you say still fantasy Woodstock, year. You mean including like everything that happened at Woodstock, yeah. right?
Just, you don't mean Woodstock 99, right?
Yeah, no, God, no. Not even Woodstock 94, thankfully.
Is Limp Bizkit playing?
Yeah, where there was riots and many bad things. Lord. And Limp Bizkit might still be popular in the greater Canton area. No,
yeah, and we're
doing pretty well.
We're doing some of the riots too. We get pretty rowdy out there, so the Limp Bizkit will probably be there at least on the speakers. The general rambunctious behavior, that too.
It was nice last year, Kyle, to have someone who actually knew about Canton and like was like, no, there actually are some cool places in Canton. And we went to them since you told us where they were.
I've got a list of new places to go to too.
Oh, nice.
Kyle said the Limp Bizkit, which I mean, I just am so jealous that you don't know Limp Bizkit well enough to add a the.
I know who Limp Bizkit is.
That's not intentional.
Vaguely.
The official name of this event is the Fantasy Football Expo, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're correct. It's the French August Bob Expose, but
August 12th to 14th. In Canton, Ohio. Are we sure it's pronounced Canton and not Canton? I think we have a Canton in Georgia. I don't know. We think it's Canton. Kyle thinks it's Canton. It's the fantasyfootballexpo.com if you want to learn more. Fantasyfootballexpo.com.
And literally all of us but Matt will be there. Sorry, Matt.
And that's like, true. That is true.
Yeah, last year I got a chance to meet Connor O'Driscoll, who proceeded to win the FFPC best ball tournament and then is now running for Rotoviz. So like there's, you know, it's not just people from the sites and everything, the people that come out tend to be super sharp, have some good fantasy football conversations.
Last year I drafted a team, like we did a live mock draft, and I drafted a zero RB team, and someone asked me, no, you wouldn't really draft that team though, right? And it was like one of my favorite moments of interacting with other humans. So
hopefully kind of one of my favorite moments was that I was running late for my morning panel and you had to park my car. Like you were like my intern.
Why is me being your valet one of your favorite moments? I just valeted your car and you had fun with that.
I got dropped off like a VIP at the front of the convention center and had to run in. And was
I'm
still
not doing
late.
That for anyone else to be
he's,
clear. You
he's
don't
gonna
come
accidentally
to the
engineer. He's going to accidentally engineer that situation again this year. You know that's happening.
Exactly.
Oh, geez.
Did I even get any breakfast, too? I feel like maybe I did.
Yeah, you did. Wow. Yeah.
You got me a bagel? I was like running disastrously.
were you running Pat's schedule, Kyle?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know whether or not he had breakfast?
No, I had to get
a clipboard and a headset.
Oh, no.
It was kind of we were up kind of late the night before, you guys may remember. And it was tough to get there by 10 a.m.
Man. Well, again, it's the fantasyfootballexpo.com. It sounds fun. As you said, Pat, I won't be there, but I am going to FaceTime with you as we've arranged. We've arranged that FaceTime.
Of course. We're beaming you in, actually. Yeah. Holographic technology.
Yeah. All right. Before we go, anything you guys want to mention on NBC Sports Edge?
Team preview series starting soon. Draft guide wrapping up. You guys have any articles coming out?
I got dynasty rankings that I'll be posting on the site shortly. Just got them updated for the draft guide, so they'll be on the site as well.
I have USFL stuff coming up over the next 2 days. And after talking about all the Week 17 stuff, I might do like a best ball playoffs thing. So I already had the spreadsheet with all these team totals pulled up.
That would be amazing. Right. I'll draft more puppy teams if that exists.
I think you're doing it anyways at this point. I think you're all in now. All right, that's going to do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe to the Show on Apple Podcasts on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a minute to rate and review us as well. I want to say thanks to everyone for listening and watching live with us. And thanks to you three, Karain, Kyle, Pat. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week.